This is Wells Tech, episode 645, recorded on Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020. Looking back at 2020 blessings. Wells Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 645, and we're recording this actually on December 22nd. Be released at a future date in 2020, last episode of 2020. Joining me, as usual, for every other episode of 2020, Sally Draper. How's Sally today?
I am most excellent, Martin. Excited for Christmas and all the joy that that brings. And despite it being a very different year, our baby Jesus is going to be there for us on Christmas Day, and that's what really matters. So,
Without fail. Without fail. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a special episode. We do this every year, kind of a retrospective, a look back at 2020. And as some might expect, 2020 had some interesting things packed in it. And so this should be an interesting show.
Yeah, Martin, believe it or not, this ends our 13th year of podcasting. You and I have been doing this for quite a while, and we've done this particular year-end show now for the 13th time. It is pretty easy to imagine that this is the most unique year that we've had to discuss, not just on Wells Tech, but just during our lifetimes even. It's been quite the year.
Not going to put any undue emphasis on the number 13 and the year 2020, but just, you know, maybe a coincidence. I think there'll be a lot of end-of-the-year retrospectives that try and sum up the year in a word of the year. If you were to pick a word or two of the year, what would your words be?
Certainly, pandemic springs to mind.
That's a softball question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think on March 13th, you know, we had any concept. I guess inconceivable, unprecedented.
Right.
Pretty much out of the ballpark as to all that's happened in this year.
And we'll hear some other catchphrases, I'm sure, like new normals and the like as we approach 2021. There'll be a lot of people looking forward to kind of putting 2020 in the rearview mirror. But as you mentioned, God's blessings were throughout as well. Maybe there's the tech word of the year we could talk about as well. And that one is, I think, an easy one. I think more people found out what Zoom was than they had maybe thought at the beginning of the year. We certainly did. And it was certainly a blessing, one of those blessings that the Lord provided, you know, Zoom and, you know, the like that allowed people to still be virtually face to face.
Yeah, Zoom is definitely a word that everyone recognizes now, even as a verb, you know, we got to do the Zoom thing. So, right. Yeah, it has changed dramatically. It was such a blessing in March when all of a sudden we couldn't worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we had that thread, that sliver to hang on to be able to watch the worship and join together for Bible studies and things like that throughout the years. So I guess if I were to characterize 2020, despite all the challenges, I would say it has been pretty abundant in tech and ministry blessings. Yeah. I know, you know, it's been a hard road for some to get there, but tech and ministry that we've talked about for 13 years came through for us and in a lot of different ways.
We had certainly no shortage of things to talk about, and it seemed like we dwell a little bit on the pandemic, of course, but the technology that enabled ministry during the pandemic was certainly fair game and something that needed to be talked about, and people learned a lot. And one little interesting tidbit about 2020 is that we did the fewest number of shows we've ever done. And that was by choice. We decided to go every other week, so we did 26 episodes. But I can't say that there wasn't an episode that really dug into some, I think, key technology tools that the Lord could put in our hands to get stuff done.
Yeah, and looking back, we had a super high percentage of those episodes with interviews, and we'll talk more about interviews later on. But I think that was really a theme of 2020 as well, as people helping people, people in ministry.
Figuring it out, yep.
Figuring it out and sharing their knowledge, and people were more than willing to come on the show and talk about the little ways that they had made progress in their church, in their school, with communication, whatever it was. We had a wide variety, and that was a huge blessing to the community as a whole.
And if you look at 2020 and all the ministry that did get done in our circles around the Synod, around the world, can you imagine trying to navigate the pandemic without some of those things?
I can't. You know, 13 years ago when we started this, we didn't even have Facebook pages for our church. You know,
right?
I mean, we've gone through so many changes and things with social media, with the streaming. Martin, I think it was maybe 2004, 2005, where you and I went to a conference and they talked about how broadcasting was just going to change dramatically and we were going to be able to share our own things via video and things like that. And here we are now with the expectation that every single congregation out there is live streaming at this point to be able to continue their services and stuff. So it's been amazing to see.
And as I think you, as you look at some of the experiences gained across the board, so we approach 2021 and some of the things that will definitely stick, certainly could be an opportunity for blessing there as well. As we get a number of people more comfortable with some of these technologies now, I think the next step is how do we use these to minister? How do we use these to spread the gospel even more effectively?
Yeah, it's exciting to see and be a part of. It's exciting to consider what the future has in store for us with these blessings. And hopefully we'll continue to carry that theme throughout 2021 as we continue to experience this pandemic. Hopefully things are going to slow down in terms of the disease spread, and we're going to be able to move into the next phase and look at how we can use those blessings further.
So, Sally, we've divvied up the show kind of like we do in a regular show with different categories, different segments. We have events, milestones, and even kind of our favorite episode names as kind of that first category. Of course, ministry resources, which are really important as we tried to figure out what special tool or site or resource was potentially super useful in ministry. We talked about, or we'll talk about, some of our favorite interviews. And then finally, one of my favorites is our top five picks of the week. So why don't we get her going and let's talk a little bit about some of our favorite or some of these significant events of 2020 for Wells Tech.
Yeah, and right off the bat, what came to mind was an episode special that we did. You know, you said a few minutes ago we've done 26 episodes. That's not counting this one we're recording right now, our 27th of the year. Mm-hmm. So we did have one extra. It was episode 624, and it was titled Digital Ministry in a COVID-19 World. And this was right at the beginning, released on March 18th. And we were just trying to get our feet underneath us and figure out some things at that point. But we just felt like we needed to put together some of the resources that were being compiled and share them with our audience to help support all the people that were, you know, struggling and trying to figure out where to go with ministry once their schools and churches were pretty much shut down. So that was a pretty special episode.
One neat thing about podcasts, and it just kind of occurred to me, is that we're kind of creating our own little time capsule. We can go back and in time and listen to or read about some of the things that were on our minds or that were in front of us at that time. So we could go back to this episode and kind of refresh ourselves of the events of the day. And over the past 13 years, we could probably do that too. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. We progressed from March and the shock of a total shutdown of our world to Easter. And what does mm-hmm. Easter look like? How do we celebrate Easter when we can't be in church together to sing, to hear the trumpets play, to smell the lilies and all of those things that appeal to your senses and your community and everything. And Wells put together an amazing Easter service that they live streamed on Easter evening. And one of the highlights of that, and there were many highlights of that, we'll link to that video in case you want to watch it again. But one of the highlights was the hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, where Northwestern Publishing actually invited people to submit video of themselves singing that song. And they compiled it into a mashup video of all of these voices and faces from around the world, from our Wells family singing I Know That My Redeemer Lives. And I remember how impactful that was. To connect again with real people and to see them singing that way and to sing along with them. It literally brought tears. And Martin, I'm going to be honest, I watched it again right before we started recording and I cried again because it's just that good. It was just a very special event and a really odd time. And we just were so thankful for it. Really nice.
In true TCM fashion, I think we'll call that an instant Easter classic.
Yes, there you go.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And then finally, despite many events being canceled, including the LWMS convention, which happens every year and has for 50 plus years, and a new event that had just happened for the first time in 2019 called Taste of Missions, they combined to do a virtual event. So LWMS and the missions office combined to present Taste and See. And they had video and devotions and installation services and Q&A events and all kinds of things happening, like a very amazing LWMS convention and Taste of Mission event tied together in this virtual event. It was free to watch. You can go back and even watch it now. And I believe it raised over $80,000 for missions. The normal LWMS tradition is that the offerings are given to missions, and offerings during this particular online event, over $80,000 for missions. It was just amazing to watch, really special.
And I don't think it's the last time we'll see this kind of event. It's almost a model, I would, you know, from my estimation, from my vantage point, and I wasn't intimately involved, just peripherally, that this would be a great model to repeat for different things, not just Taste and See, but it created awareness of missions. They creatively brought, I think, almost every missionary on screen at some point to do something, mm-hmm. and probably a broader reach than a regular LWMS convention because of that. So even if I think LWMS and, you know, the Taste of Ministry or Taste of Missions, I should say, mm-hmm. comes back in person, I think, you know, there's probably going to be this kind of virtual component. So well done, everybody involved. I think that was an awesome event. A lot of work, yeah, too.
Definitely. But again, the blessings of technology that we're able to jump in and pivot in that way from March to a June event is just,
and some of these
amazing.
Things came together so quickly.
They did.
Heroic efforts to make some mm-hmm. of this happen. You had to learn the technology, brainstorm, you know, get, you know, marshal the troops, shuffling video files around the globe. Just a very cool thing to watch.
Definitely. Something fun that you are responsible for, Martin, is our episode names. We typically record the episode, and then after we're done, you record kind of the intro to the episode. So you've had the experience of all the things that get said, all the ways that you surprise me and I say something dumb on the show or whatever it may be.
Or pithy.
Yeah.
That happens.
Occasionally. And you get creative and come up with some really fun names for our Wells Tech episodes. So what were some of your favorites this year?
Some of these write themselves, you know, so it's not hard. Some of them are extremely boring. So if they are, you can certainly blame me. If they're exciting and intriguing, Usually it's something that Sally has said during the show. So, episode 632, Google just wants to save you some money. And that was something that you brought up. What was behind that name, you remember?
It was pretty fun, actually. I had bought a new monitor, and out of the blue, it popped up on my screen that Google said Best Buy had a sale on it. The catch was, I never Googled once for this monitor. I went straight to the Best Buy app, ordered it, went and picked it up from my local Best Buy store. But I believe they picked up on it because I got a receipt from Best Buy via email. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it went on sale for $110 off, like the next day. And I called the store and they refunded my money immediately. It was just amazing. And it was all thanks to Google and their watchdog on my email, apparently. So, interesting story.
Yeah, Google's such a benevolent search engine. Another one that struck me, and this one kind of wrote itself too, the points don't matter. That's a reference to wait, don't tell me. Isn't that right? I think it is.
I think it is.
And I think and I don't know the exact reference here, but you said something like, I think I get a point for that one because you shared something with me about the iPhone that I wasn't totally aware of. So,
and
I think I said something smart like, you know, Sally, the points don't really matter, but they do. And it isn't a competition, but I like the healthy back and forth as we're trying to figure out some things that we can share. And the two of us, two heads are better than one. And that's kind of the neat part about this show.
Yeah, just to be clear, I'm way down the point scale compared to you. But, when I get my chance, when I one-up you occasionally, it's like, yeah, make a note of that.
What else we got in this category here?
One more thing I thought was fun was a favorite photo, and we'll have a link to this in the show notes. But it came actually from the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Facebook page, and he may have been a senior last year. I'm not sure. One of their students in spring was doing class from home. We all shifted to that work from home mentality and methodology in March. And he was taking class and he was dressed appropriately for class with shirt and tie and jacket, looking really sharp. But the photo shows that he also had on shorts and Crocs, which don't show in that Zoom camera. You know, you only get from like the shoulders up in your camera. So it was kind of funny that the post on the SIM Facebook page says he shared how the first day of online classes went for him. I, of course, would much rather be in class with all my friends, but SIM at home from a fashion standpoint is the best of both worlds. So,
photo was a great candidate for one of those Ken Burns Zoom effects where you start tight and then it kind of zooms out. Or
that would be great.
Or those photos at the Haunted Mansion in Disney World where they kind of reveal the truth, the rest of the story. So,
yeah,
cool stuff. Yeah, that's going to be a classic. I think we'll refer to that again. Next category on the show is ministry resources, where we try and pick just one thing that if you don't take anything else away from the show, here's maybe one thing that you can put in your tool belt, something you may want to look at, consider, share, that is a specific resource for ministry application. Sally, what was your pick?
This one actually was kind of a no-brainer for me, Martin. When I look back at all the amazing resources we shared this year, one really stood out for me, and it was from the Wells Lutheran Leadership Conference, one of those archaic events, an in-person conference that happened this past January before the pandemic hit America. And one of the keynotes there, and I understand there were many that were just amazing, but one of them was actually a friend of mine, Pastor David Rosenau, who serves down in Florida. And he shared a story titled One by One, Revitalizing a Congregation. Keeping things simple requires hard work, a clear sense of purpose, and a commitment to keeping the mission of the church as the mission of the church. And I think if you haven't watched this video, or even if you have, it's probably a good one to just file away and watch again on a regular basis, because Pastor Rosenau, he really hits the nail on the head in his approach, his congregation's approach to ministry, and just reaching out to people one-on-one. And it's, again, one of those that'll bring tears. It literally did, and just well worth your time and the time of your church leadership, even, to share this video and watch it together and learn and grow from what he has to share. So,
yeah, there were a number of great keynotes. That was probably at the top of the list. But that entire conference, and I couldn't attend, but I think I'm going to put it at the top of my list the next time they have it. Just kind of a neat venue, a neat group of people they brought together with some incredible topics. So if you get a chance, just kind of keep an eye on that when that gets offered again. Mm-hmm. My ministry resource of choice was from MPH, Sunday School at Home, it was entitled. So at-home Sunday school lessons that they kind of pivoted and made Christ-like Sunday school lessons virtual, and they added a bunch of stuff around them. They asked a number of teachers to get involved and to do some video lessons and kind of custom packaged some of these lessons and made them available and still make them available to people who want to take these virtual. Obviously, Sunday school is maybe one of the face-to-face portion of Sunday school is maybe one of the casualties of 2020. But again, opportunity where parents and or siblings could take these resources and just kind of have an at-home Sunday school lesson. Kind of cool. So that was my ministry resource
pick. I was super impressed. The videos for the lessons are available on YouTube, and you can access them without any cost. You certainly benefit from ordering the paper materials to share with your Sunday school students at home as well. But it's neat that they did it by age category, Martin, so that all different ages can benefit from age-appropriate lessons. It's not right. Just one size fits all.
Yep.
So very well done.
And teachers specific to with experience in those particular age mm-hmm. groups too. So yeah, extremely well done. So, and that's again, another resource that I hope will live on. And, cause I think there are applications for that even in a non-pandemic world.
All right. Next up is interviews.
Yeah. You mentioned before that we had a lot of interviews and you kind of ran the numbers. 24 of 26 episodes had other voices. So 18 different interviews, plus our good friends, Rachel Feld and Jason Schmidt on 6 episodes. So when you add that all up, 92% of the time, you didn't have to just listen to me and you. That's a 2020 win.
Win-win, huh? Very good. Well, what was your favorite of the year? Was there anything that was a standout for you?
Yeah, I kind of, and this is kind of a Homer pick, but I had my pastor, one of my pastors, Paul Waldschmidt, on to talk about online catechism instruction. Extremely timely, of course. He had taught a summer course at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary called Educational Technology for the Catechism Classroom. And so he talked about some of the methods and tools he used and the 4 C's of 21st century skills: create, communicate, collaborate, and critical thinking in the classroom. And he provided some great resources that I think you'll enjoy. We'll put a link, obviously, to this episode in the show notes. But very engaging. He was super prepared. It's like he'd almost taught a class on this stuff and shared with us some awesome stuff. So we thank, not only thank Paul, but we thank all the people that were willing to come on camera, so to speak, and talk to us about topics that we can grill them with questions. So it's a really neat segment of our show, and hopefully our listeners appreciate that as well.
Yeah, and maybe just a good time to pause. Pastor Waldschmidt obviously serves as pastor, but teacher as well. Time to just thank and give praise to our called workers who mm-hmm. just went above and beyond to continue to
For
do
sure.
ministry with the strange settings and the challenges that were presented to them. So well done, all of them. And we continue to pray for the ministry's efforts that are ongoing and just a little different than they have been in the past, but good
sure.
stuff.
Yep.
So a couple of called workers that got me really excited when I look back at the list of interviews for the year were two personal friends of mine, Lisa Utek, who serves as music director for Christ the Lord, my home congregation, and Kristen Kepsel, who's music coordinator at Cross of Christ in Boise, Idaho. They both serve in music capacities, and music was one of the things that was a big challenge during this year of pandemic. And it was really interesting to hear each of their stories and how different they were and what the different congregations' approaches were to including music in their ministry, in their streaming services, and with their children and school and all of those kind of things. And I just really appreciate the different perspectives and just the enthusiasm and excitement that these ladies have for the work that they're doing. It's a huge blessing and one of those sensory kind of things that we miss when, you know, it's not quite the same singing along with a Zoom call or a live streaming or whatever. But they brought in so many different ways of making it so high quality. It was great to hear from them. And I'm sure benefited many who listened.
Again, one of the neat things about these interviews is, you know, all walks of life. You have call workers, lay workers, different positions, different disciplines. Everybody with a little bit different perspective, a little bit different history, and different approaches to ministry in 2020. Mm-hmm. So thanks to all of them. And I guess this is one of the areas that we're constantly looking for opportunities to have some conversations with ministry creators. And if you are one of those, or you know of people in your area, your church, your school, that might be willing to share what they've been doing, let us know so we can get them on the schedule and get some more voices on Wells Tech.
Very good.
Sally, should we move on to our tips or and or picks of the week segment? We're going to take our top five, and in true countdown fashion, we'll start with number five and alternate all the way up to the top. Want to get her going?
You bet. Top five picks for me wouldn't be complete without Snagit. I was actually going to look back and see how many.
I was going to ask, has there not been a top five where a Snagit, where a Camtasia or a TechSmith product has not been on the list? Yes.
For sure. I am a true fangirl. TechSmith is a company that's actually headquartered in Michigan, a software company that does great image and video tools that are super easy and intuitive to use, and that they keep getting better and better. They keep adding more and more to them, and it's just pretty exciting. This year, I was able to get a copy of Snagit 2021 and had it as my pick of the week 1 week, and I use it pretty much for all my image editing. So I'm not a Photoshop girl, never been quite at that level of image editing. That's probably something I should have on my bucket list to master at some point. I get the concept of layers and all of that, but it's not my comfort level. I want things a little bit simpler than that, and I think a lot of people do. And I think Snagit's a really great tool for that next level down of image editing.
Get in, get out, get a good result.
Exactly. And it's great for, you know, screen capture. And I think that's where they would say it's sweet spot. So if you're trying to write some documentation or show somebody where there's a problem on the screen or something like that, Snagit's really great at that. It has a lot of tools where you can circle things and draw arrows and things like that. And in my job, I do a lot of that kind of work. But it's also great for just plain old image editing where you need to crop and resize and colorize and standardize and all of those kind of things. And that's another way that I use it. So I would say it's a tool in my toolbox that I use on a daily basis, both on my work computer and my home computer. I have a copy for my personal use as well, and I just can't recommend it enough. They've got great tutorials out there. So if you're looking to learn a tool, this is a really easy one to learn. They have a nonprofit pricing. And, you know, I haven't looked at pricing lately, but it's a pretty affordable
tool. It's reasonable, yeah.
I want to say, $50 is the per-user cost. And then if you go with that government nonprofit pricing, it's $42.99. So you save a little bit with that as well. And they do have some volume discounts. If you're looking for an image editing tool that's easy to use and very very robust. You can even do video and video editing to some degree in Snagit. This is a great tool to try out. They have free trial.
Not a bad tool for flipped classroom work, right?
Sure. I agree. Really useful for that as well. So yeah, Snagit 2021, number 5 on my list.
Excellent. Kind of like new car models. It comes out before the year hits. So
yes, exactly.
Model is out already. All right, my number 5 is the MoCA adapter. MoCA stands for Multimedia Over Coaxial Alliance. Basically, in layman's terms, what it is.
Lots of words there.
It's a little box that you plug in to your coax, which most people have running throughout their homes to support, in the old world, cable television. And it turns that coax cable into Ethernet cable, basically. Nice. So you can get up to 1 gigabit per second Ethernet connections. Each of the ends has this little adapter and a little Ethernet port. So if you don't want to kind of run Ethernet cable throughout your house, if you are wanting kind of a wired world and maybe your Wi-Fi isn't got as great a coverage as you'd like, this is a great solution. So the way I put it in my home is I have Orbi routers, or a Wi-Fi system from Orbi, which is from Netgear. And they have a home unit and a satellite unit, and you put those at opposite ends of the house to get best coverage. But to get even more reliable connectivity, if you wire the home to the satellite, it's as if you had two home routers, and they cover it just as fast as if you had full network coverage. And this model that I picked here was from Action Tech. I don't remember what the cost. Actually, I could click on the buy from Amazon here to find out what the current cost is. It's not super cheap, $170, but it's certainly cheaper than, and that gets you two adapters, so you can on each end. Mm-hmm. But it is certainly cheaper than having somebody come in and do any wiring for you. But works super well. I've not had any problems with it using it right now. So if in this Zoom world you want to get as good of bandwidth as possible throughout your house, and you've got coax cable that you're not using for cable TV, this is a good repurpose of it. So that was my number 5, the MoCA, MoCA, network adapter from Action Tech.
It's interesting. That's actually a product of the pandemic for you as well, because you were trying to get your work from home office up to snuff so that you had enough bandwidth, to do your job.
And my home router is the home base of the router is in the basement, which covers the basement and the first floor pretty well. But my office is on the second floor, opposite end of the house, in every respect, from diagonal to diagonal as well. So this was something that was kind of a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. My husband and I were talking before the recording about Zoom and how everybody knows that word now. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a stock that you would have liked to have had back in February. And this, he said healthcare stock. And obviously this kind of company, the things that made work from home easier was a very popular item this year for sure. Yep. So interesting.
I think we're up to number 4, Sally.
Number 4, follow LWMS on Facebook. So I became, I started a new role.
Personal interest here.
Yeah. And I've always been excited and attended LWMS events every chance I've gotten. LWMS is Lutheran Women's Missionary Society. So the group supports Wells missions in so many different ways. And this year they had the opportunity for someone to do social media for LWMS. And I've just really begun in earnest this fall. And it's just been a really neat thing. Personally, I've grown in my understanding and appreciation of missions and the support that LWMS does for them. And I've learned a lot about where all their different content is and being able to feature it. And it's just been a real blessing. And so I just would encourage you, if you aren't following Lutheran Women's Missionary Society's LWMS on Facebook that you go follow and keep up with all the things that are happening, because it's just amazing when you consider this big world. We've got stuff happening in a lot of different areas, and it's neat to see how that develops. So definitely follow LWMS on Facebook, and maybe we'll be branching out and getting on Instagram or something like that in the future. Who knows? So
neat.
Stay connected.
Awesome. Thanks for your service there. That I'm sure that is much appreciated and needed. So we want to get the word out for great organizations like that.
For sure.
My number four is a app for iOS. And I mentioned it just a couple shows ago. It's called Streaks. And probably very timely as you're heading into the new year. It's an app that tracks habits. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the focus for us this fall. We were reading the book Atomic Habits, and this app was actually recommended by that author. And basically what it is it's an app that you install on your iPad, iPhone, or Apple Watch, and it allows you to keep track of habits that you consistently do or don't do. So if you want to quit smoking, you can put a don't smoking habit on there. And every time you don't, every day you don't, then you tap the button and it records a history. And it encourages you. It notifies you. It will time events. So if you want to make sure you're brushing your teeth for 2 minutes, you've got an option to do that. Eating a healthy meal, walk the dog, run 5K, you know, 5 out of 7 days a week, you know, whatever it is. One of the nice things about the app is that it's so simple. You set it up, you forget it, and then you open the app, and it's just a big button there. Two screens of 6 buttons, and they just try and keep it as out of the way as possible. But it's very user-friendly. They've got widgets now, statistics, suggestions, customize your icons, colored the screen. You know, think different ways to make it fun. It is $4.99 from a company called Crunchy Bagel. I like love the name. got 5 stars in the App Store, and I've been using it all year, and it's just a good thing to reinforce those good habits and to discourage the bad ones. So take a look at it if you're looking at something like that for the new year. Streaks is the name.
Very good. All right, I'm up to number 3 on my list in my countdown of top picks, and it actually is something we've talked about already, Martin, the HP 27F. It's a 27-inch monitor, HDMI and VGA, and it's available from Best Buy and I'm sure other vendors. I purchased this back near the beginning of the year. It was one of those purchases for home office, and I read reviews and looked around and decided this was the monitor for me. It was in stock at my local Best Buy, so went and picked it up for $250, which seemed a reasonable enough price for me at 27 inches. I've been really pleased with the monitor. It has a great display, great brightness, all those kind of things that you're looking for. It's not a 4K monitor, but still has a high resolution, which I don't have in front of me, but I'm really pleased with it. The story behind it is that I bought it for $250 and the next day it went on sale for $110 off. So I actually got it for $140, which is a great deal.
That's an awesome deal for that size.
Click the link this morning and it's on sale right now for $130 off. So you can get it for $120 if you're interested in a new monitor for under your Christmas tree or for your new year or whatever. So
is that at Walmart or where is that?
It's at Best Buy.
Best Buy.
So it's an HP monitor. And like I said, really pleased with it. Been using it for a while and it's been great for me. I like the extra real estate.
And I'll just send out an encouragement to all our listeners that that's a great deal for one, but there is room for investment in things that you work on day in and day out. All of us are knowledge workers, so we want to have the tools that don't get in our way. So, you know, pick the tools carefully, you know, get good quality ones. Don't try and cheap out. And it's great if you can find a deal on a great product, of course, but you know, take your time, do the reviews, ask questions, but get stuff that works for you. Don't fight with it. That's just a frustrating thing and kind of leaves technology, or technology leaves kind of a bad taste in your mouth at that point. So take some time with it.
Good advice.
It's one of the reasons we have these picks, to try and help people figure out what makes sense. Mm-hmm. My number, what are we up to? Number three yet? Yes. My number three is an app, is an online service for budgeting. Early in the year, I think we picked this, called YNAB. You need a budget is what it stands for. And there are a bunch of these budgeting tools out there, but it truly has transformed our budgeting, our family's budgeting. This is not necessarily a business tool, although you could probably use it for business. But it has an app. It has a website. It does automatic imports of your bank statements, credit card statements, allows you to set goals, different kinds of goals, set reminders. Just is an excellent tool. And again, this is something for the new year if you want to kind of get things squared away with the budget. This really helped us out kind of take a look at really where does our money go and what are our priorities. And this is, I think, $70-something dollars. Maybe I forget what the annual cost is. But you can get a discount, and I can get a discount on my future subscriptions if you just let me know. I can send you an invite as well. We had at least one person, as I recall, ask for that this past year. So you need a budget. So if you're into budgeting and you kind of are tired of maybe either not budgeting or the whole spreadsheet route or paper and pencil and want to kind of get into the 2021s, this would be definitely my choice. Well-supported. They've got a lot of good training videos, some nice personalities that do YouTube videos. Kind of a fun thing. So right now it says try YNAB free for 34 days. So you can give that a shot, get a whole month in and see if you like it. But that's my number three.
Fun and budgeting, not two words that you hear together.
No kidding.
That often.
Right.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah. You don't enjoy your budgeting, apparently.
I enjoy... money, but
the fruits
maybe not
of
budgeting.
Your labors. Yes.
There you go. All right. Number
All
two
right,
on
we're
my
up to number
list.
Two.
I've got back to back hardware picks. Who is this person? That's not usually me, but this
no
is
kidding.
A hardware
yeah.
pick again. It is the Beats by Dr. Dre Power Beats Pro, totally wireless earphones. I purchased these earlier in the year and have been using them pretty much on a daily basis. They are comparable to the AirPods, I believe they're called, from Apple. Mm-hmm. But these are over the ear earbuds, and that's just fits my style. Maybe I'm a granny or something, I don't know, but the stick it in your ear and it stay there just never works for me. And this gives me that comfort level that I'm not going to lose my earbuds. They're very much noise canceling. Like I said, I use them on a daily basis. I use them for phone calls. I watch movies with them. Just all kinds of uses for earbuds when you're exercising, whatever it may be. They come in a variety of colors. Mine are cool red earbuds. So got the neat look going on there. And I purchased them through Sam's Club. I think they were on sale at the time, but price right now looks like $169, which is a really good price. They're normally about $250. They come with a little charging case. They charge with the Apple Lightning connector and basically work exactly the same, integrate with your Apple devices, the same as the AirPods would, but I use them to connect to my computer, you know, via Bluetooth. It's not just Apple centric, so they are capable of connecting with all kinds of devices. So check out the Power Beats Pro by Dr. Dre.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. My number two is also a hardware pick. Kudos to you, Sally, for the hardware picks. That's commendable.
Good stuff.
Alexa is a regular part. I turned my Echo off in the office here, so she wouldn't be barking up here. But Alexa is part of our household. She turns lights on for us. She turns iron on and off. amongst other things. She'll open up the garage door for us. And I was given a gift by my youngest daughter last Christmas that's called Alexa Auto. And that brings Alexa into the car. And you'd be surprised how convenient that is as well, where I can, you know, turn off lights and such at home or make sure the iron's turned off. You can do this from your phone, but it's just a little bit easier to have her connected connects to your phone, but it's also connected through your Bluetooth system. She can play music. She can do all the kind of fun skills things. We've done trivia in the car. So when we all can start driving again for any length of distance, this is not a bad companion. It's very easy to set up and a very small device. I've got it kind of tucked down in the console right now. But it's kind of a very inexpensive, just little tool that's nice to have along. And right now, I believe, as are a lot of Echo devices, on sale for $19.99. So
what a deal.
For as little as $20, you can have Alexa in your car if you so chose. Just some good hands-free stuff, which is always good in the car. So that's my number two. Sally, drum roll for number one.
Drum roll for number one. And it is the opposite of a hardware pick or anything that has any price because it's free and very small. It's a little utility that's actually built into Windows 10. And I know there are other utilities that do this that we've probably talked about in the past on the show, but this was pretty life-changing for me this year. It's something that keeps up with your clipboard history. So when you do a Control-C to copy to clipboard, Windows 10 tracks the history of that, not just your current, but all the historical Control-Cs that you've done. And I do a lot of copying and pasting in the work that I do on a daily basis. And with this setup in Windows 10, I can use my Windows key, or on my keyboard it's labeled as Start, and do a Start V instead of a Control V for paste. And when I do that, a little menu comes up with all the clipboard history, and I can pick what I want to paste from that screen. And it's just helped me tremendously. Again, something I use on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, honestly, to be able to do all the different work that I do. Having that clipboard history is really powerful. So if you work on a computer, I would recommend looking for this on your Windows 10 machine or something comparable for your Apples and Linux. Yep. Environments, because having the clipboard history can really be a great game changer, you a lot of time.
That's the true test of a pick, whether it is a game changer or not. So I'm glad that one was for you. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that too till I saw, it was probably early in the year where we talked about this, but that this was a feature built into Windows. And there had been other kind of add-ons that you could install, but the fact that it's kind of built into the operating system makes a lot of sense. So, and it's built into Macs as well now too. So
yeah, very, very good. I try to tell everybody that I meet, hey, are you using this?
Right. Have you heard about?
Right.
All right. Number one for me is a hardware pick. And it is a recent release from Apple. Speaking of Apple, and it's actually a pick I don't own, a piece of hardware I don't own. I own its bigger brother. This is the MacBook Air, and it's a 13-inch laptop. I own the MacBook Pro, which is also 13-inch. MacBook Air is a little bit lighter. I like the form factor actually a little bit better. And to be honest, there's not a big difference between the two, except a couple $100 in the price. And the reason that I call this out is I think it is a great product, especially for teachers who can and want to be in that Mac universe, because the price is very, I think, reasonable as far as Apple goes. So I think you can get it for under $900, $899. But I've also seen it on sale too, so maybe there's a deal to be had out there. But this is a brand new model and uses a different kind of processor. The M1 chip. They made their own chips. They don't use Intel chips anymore in some of these machines. It's much faster. It's quieter. The MacBook Air does not have a fan. Sally, you were kind of complaining a little bit before the show that your fan was running for no apparent reason. And I'm sure other people, my wife's too, has a MacBook Pro that a 13-inch older version that her fan is constantly running. You know what she blames for that?
Probably you somehow. What does she blame?
Pinterest. She says, whenever I have Pinterest open in a Google tab, it makes the fan go. So anyway.
It's worth it, Debbie. Keep it up.
Yes, right. So no fan noise because there is no fan. As much power as you're going to need in almost every way, I can't think of, even for light video editing, audio editing, and if you're a super power user and into big multimedia, then maybe this isn't for you. But for most of the people that listen to this show, I think this is an excellent buy. You can find some cheaper ones, machines on the Windows side, and that's fine too. But if you're on the Mac side, this is about as cheap as you're going to get. And I think that the benefits, including battery life, all-day battery life for this, which is kind of important if you're in the classroom or whatever and want to be mobile, is worth it as well. So a couple of things that you don't get along with it because it's not an Intel chip. You can't run Windows on it. Sometimes you could run Boot Camp or Parallels or something like that. That may be coming, but not available right now. So if you have to have Windows apps, this maybe isn't for you. But everything else is kind of baked right in and just kind of one of Apple's better products of the year. So if you're in the market or maybe even for a student, this might not be a bad purchase. So that's why it's my number one pick. And just take a look. I think it's worth a look.
So, Martin, I have a question after 13 years.
Oh, no.
Are you a PC or a Mac? Because you work on both of them all the time. What's your preference?
I think I prefer Mac, mostly because of this computer. Okay. How light it is, how the good battery life. Reason I use both is that obviously we're pretty Windows-centric in the Senate office, so we use all the Microsoft products, although they are more cross-platform than ever. Mm-hmm. But I do development, too, for iPhone, etc., and almost always that requires that you do it on a Mac. So that's the reason I got into it. I didn't start that way. I started mostly PC. But so I kind of go both ways, and it's not a difficult thing once you get the hang of it. All the applications
are
pretty straightforward. Yeah,
I don't go between the two very well.
Now, if you do them enough, they become a little bit second nature. So, and again, the apps are pretty much the same, regardless. So,
very good.
All right. Well, that I think is going to do it for a nice little wrap up of 2020. We have 2021 to look forward to. Year 14. Who'd have thunk that? So lots of questions about what that will bring, and I'm sure there'll be some excellent conversations around
whether
that.
There'll be a toilet paper shortage or not, something like that.
Some kind of shortage. Yeah, who knows, right?
Who knows?
It'll be interesting. I think we mentioned this in our last show that we'll start a new book discussion. So if you want to get a little bit of a head start and kind of prep for our first show where we talk about the new book review that we'll be doing. It's The Post-Quarantine Church. It's a pretty timely piece of work by Tom Rainer. And if you want to read along with us, go ahead and get a Kindle version or a paperback version. I think it's only like $12-$13, something like that. It's a quick read, but we're going to be going through that here in the winter and into the spring. So looking forward to that. Sally, what are you looking forward to in 2021?
Oh, that's a great question. I hope we get to work together face-to-face again sometime soon. Certainly, I hope for family visits face-to-face as well. And
Absolutely. Obviously
return to normalcy with worship in school. So
We'll see what the Lord has in store. Only blessings, though, I'm sure. And blessings to all of our listeners. And we pray that the new year brings those blessings to you as God has promised, and that you'll come back again for episode, 646. So is that a palindrome?
It is a really short one.
Right. Good way to start the year. So thank you, Sally. Have a happy new year, and we'll talk to you in 2021. Bye-bye, everybody.